Well, I was channel surfing the other day. Anybody ever done that? Jane hates it when I do that. She said, can't you just watch something? But I was going through the channels. Nothing was on. 200 channels of nothing. And I just happened to, we have DirecTV, so the upper part of the channels, there's about 10, 15 different religious channels. Well, I just happened to be going through, and I noticed, I stopped for a second, and it was an old Billy Graham crusade. This was probably, I would guess, late 70s from how old Billy Graham looked. But I just kind of stopped and was watching that. I'm sure everybody's seen them. It was in a huge stadium. This was actually in a football stadium. The stage was set up on one end, and all around on the football stadium, people were sitting. And just as I had turned the channel on, the invitation had just been given. Well, the people were just pouring out of the stands, out onto the field, and walking over toward the stage. I mean, they were just pouring out of there. You know, the old song was playing. What it? Come on, somebody, what's the song that plays every time they get the invitation on Billy Graham? Just as I am. I come just as I am. You know, I was watching this. And as I was watching, the thought just popped into my head. I wonder, how about tomorrow? How about next week? How about next month? Even next year? How many of those people were going to be just as they were? You know, the idea, you know, when the invitation's given, what do they say? Just as I am, this is me. Just as I am. You accept me how I am and so on. And I couldn't help but wonder if a year from now that this huge masses of people that were flowing down into the infield, were they going to be just as they were? Well, you know the Mormon? How many of you have seen the Mormons riding around on their bicycles? I ran into them at Hothead's Burrito. There was three of them, and we got into a discussion there. They didn't talk very long. But, you know what? They've got a really good way to get people recruited in. Seventh-day Adventists. Very lively, very energetic. Recruit people in. Well, they're the fastest growing denominations right now in the United States. But I did a little bit of research as I was doing this. Believe it or not, within 1 year, the majority of people that join these groups are no longer there. The majority are no longer there. Only a small portion of the ones that go down for the Billy Graham Crusades stick with their faith. A very small portion. You know, it's sad that they don't stay with the group that they made their decision with. We've experienced that, haven't we? Sure we have. It's worse in bad times than good, but we've experienced that. But you know what we need to realize? This isn't something new. Because when we read our Bibles, pick them up, read them, that's a nifty idea, isn't it? The exact same thing happened to Jesus Christ. You know, we've read about the multitudes that followed him, didn't we? The multitudes. How 4,000 men, not counting women and children, what'd they do? Ate from seven loaves and fish? And then later on, 5,000 men, not counting women and children, ate from 5 loaves and 2 fish. And not just that, but they passed back leftovers. All of them that were there and witnessed this, they knew it was a miracle, didn't they? They saw the fish. They saw the bread. Now, is there any way that you can break the bread up tiny enough to get 5,000 people fed? And it said they had a full meal. Couldn't happen, could it? Well, they saw it being passed around. They saw the people eating their fill. And they even saw the leftovers. So they knew that they had saw a miracle. So then what? Then what? What were they going to do? Turn with me over to John chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 53 here. It says, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. Now let's look down in verse 30 and 66 here. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. There were multitudes following him, walking with him. People came to see what was going on, what all this hoopla was about. They wanted to be part of what was taking place here. They wanted to see the miracles. They wanted some of that free food that they were getting, didn't they? They followed, they listened, they watched. But when it came down to it, they stumbled, didn't they? And many left. Many left. They had simply been along for the ride. Kind of makes me think, when I was reading this, boy, that sounds an awful lot like Ezekiel. Go back to Ezekiel 33. Starting in verse 30. Ezekiel was told here, but as for you, son of man, your fellow citizens who talk about you by the walls and in the doorways of the houses, speak to one another, each his brother, saying, come now and hear what the message is, which comes forth from the Lord. They come to you as people come and sit before you as my people, and hear your words, but they do not do them. For they do the lustful desires expressed by their mouths, and their heart goes after their gain. Behold, you are to them like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not practice them. So when it comes to pass, as surely it will, then they will know that a prophet has been in their midst. Isn't that what happened with Jesus? People came. They heard the lovely words that Jesus was speaking. They loved to see these miracles. They were, wow, this is incredible. They enjoyed all these opportunities and privileges following Jesus. They went along with it. They listened. They thought. They thought, wow, this is just wonderful. Until they had to do something. Until something was required of them. Then what happened? They turned aside and they left. We know the stories, don't we? There's story after story after story. I want to look at Luke chapter 24. This week is kind of the opener, you might say, for next week. Next week we're going to get in really deep into this subject. Luke 24, verse 13. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking together of all the things which had taken place. So, all the things that had happened. They're talking and walking down the road. They'd been there. They saw the crucifixion. They were aware of it. And now, here they go. They're walking back home now. In verse 15, it says, while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. So, to them, somebody had just joined them walking and was going the same direction that they were. Verse 17, and he said to them, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you're walking? And they stood still, looking sad. So, Jesus, what's wrong? What's going on here? One of them named Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days? Jesus didn't answer him, did he? He just simply said, what things? He didn't say that he didn't know. He just said, what things? What things are you talking about? Verse 19. And he said to them, what things? And they said to him the things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed, and in word, and in sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. You see, we were hoping that he was going to be the one that was going to deliver the kingdom to Israel. He was supposed to be the king of the Jews. He was the Messiah. And we expected him to go right ahead and restore that kingdom to Israel right now to get them back into their place of power. But they killed him, though. Now everything's lost. Everything's lost. What are we going to do? And to top it off, these women, these ridiculous women, they're saying that they went to the tomb and there wasn't anybody there. And can you believe this? They said there was angels there. Now how is that possible? I don't know. What are we going to do? They claim the grave is empty. They claim that they saw angels. How can you believe that? That's nonsense. So, well, guess it's back to work. All our hope's lost. Everything's lost. We just have to go back to doing what we were doing, I guess. Boy, the great hopes of seeing that kingdom restored. Well, you know what? Just a short time later, we find some vastly different people here, don't we? There were a lot fewer of them. But boy, were they different. Completely different. Turn with me back to Acts chapter 4. In verse 13, it says, "Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men." Now, that doesn't mean that they were illiterate or ignorant or dumb or anything like that. It just means that they didn't necessarily have high degrees, that they hadn't been through the best religious schools of that day. It says they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. In verse 14, "And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them," now this is after they had just healed the cripple that was at the temple gates. I think we all know that story. They had just healed him. Said they had nothing to say in reply. Verse 15, "But when they had ordered them to leave the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, 'What shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it.'" So what are they saying? We can't say it didn't happen because a whole lot of people saw it. Verse 17. "But so that it will spread no further among the people." You know, it could have been big trouble for them at that time, couldn't it? That these two are out performing miracles that the religious leaders couldn't do themselves. That wouldn't look too good for them, wouldn't it? So they want to make sure that this doesn't spread any farther. So they say, "Let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name." I think the New King James captures this better, because it says in the New King James, "Let us severely threaten them." That's more what it conveys here, that they were going to severely threaten them, maybe with their lives. In verse 18, "When they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them," now remember, this is the very same Peter who, when the maid came to him at the crucifixion saying, "You're one of them." "Whoo, not me. Mm-mm. I don't know him. Never seen him before in my life." Did it three times, didn't he? He lied. Here they were, the religious leaders, challenging them, severely threatening them. And he and John said, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than God, you be the judge." Who do you think's right? Who do you think's right, Pharisees? You or God? You make the choice. Should we listen to you? Or should we listen to God? Verse 20, "For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." When they had threatened them further, they let them go, finding no basis on which to punish them on account of the people, because they were all glorifying God for what had happened. They didn't dare do anything, did they? No. Because the people knew the miracles that happened. And they were very aware of what was going on. And here are Peter and John, the same two that had run away, standing and boldly proclaiming what they had been taught and what they had learned. Are we the same way? Are we the same way? Willing to stand here and boldly, boldly proclaim what we know and what we have learned? Or are we going to be like Peter and all the disciples were before and run and hide? What happened? Peter had lied, didn't he? Apparently the rest of the apostles had run, left Christ alone. Now in a very short period of time, they're standing here saying to the religious leaders, "I don't care what you say. I don't care what you say. We are going to teach these things, and you can't stop us." What was this change that took place in these men? What happened? Well, it was actually two things. The first thing was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The second thing that happened was the Holy Spirit. See, they saw Jesus. They talked to Him. They learned from them after they had seen with their own eyes Him die. They talked with Him and they knew that He lived now. They shouldn't have been surprised though, should they? No. Jesus told them exactly what was going to happen. Exactly what was going to happen. But maybe they just didn't remember. Because, you see, once He died, they'd forgotten all about it. You know, when we go to funerals, before we came to the knowledge of the truth, that seemed so final, didn't it? To see that body laying there. No life, no breath. We thought, wow, that's the end. But now we know it's not. We know that now, because of a man named Jesus, that we too can be resurrected. We too can live again. This time, not just for 50 years, 80 years, 100 years, but forever. We can have that hope. See, the apostles just couldn't grasp that. That Jesus would rise again. And then He rose. And He talked to them. And He gave them guidance. He gave them instructions. And He told them what was going to happen. John chapter 15. chapter 14. In verse 15. Jesus told them, "If you love Me, you will keep My commandments. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him, because He abides in you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." So they shouldn't have been surprised, should they, at what took place? You know, I think Each of us should take those words to heart. Each of us. And recognize that it applies equally to you and I right now as it did to the apostles back in that day. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, He will not leave us orphans. He won't leave us to the confusions of this life. He would give us the Holy Spirit. And all those who would obey Him, and all those that have that Holy Spirit, would be greatly, greatly, greatly strengthened. You know, I know a lot of people are incredibly troubled in this time we're living in. In case you haven't watched the TV or looked outside, people, we're in the end times. The return of Christ is coming closer and closer and closer. And you know, especially with the news today, they want to keep you so well informed, don't they? You see every killing, every murder, every war, instantly. And then, well, we just can't say anymore, oh, don't let it bother you. Because it does, doesn't it? When you see these things going on in the world, it does bother you. But we need to realize one thing. That our God reigns. Amen? Our great God reigns. In spite of what happens in this life, in spite of the problems that come up, in spite of the difficulties, our God reigns. He's given us a helper, a power to strengthen us, to overcome, and to make it through. He's given us the power to stand for the truth. He's given us the power to stand for the truth against the Pharisees of this age. That we, just like John and Peter, can stand and boldly proclaim. He hasn't left us alone. You know, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord will strengthen us, give us that same resolve and that same fortitude that it did Peter and John on that day. As we enter into communion this morning, I want you to remember the very last words, the very words of Jesus here. And we're going to let His words be our last words today. He said, He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever.